If you're a mom, like me, you've been spending a lot of time thinking about and shopping for gifts for other people. So what are you giving yourself? And do not say a new toaster or a better dishwasher. Psychologist Elizabeth Dunn has a much better idea.
Tons of research has focused on the relationship between how much money we have and how happy we are. But we wanted to examine whether maybe people could use their money differently to get more happiness from their money, whether they had a little or a lot of it.
Differently how?
Well, for one thing, people pour lots of money into material things, but research suggests that it's actually better to buy experiences. For example, people get more lasting happiness from things like vacations, special meals, concerts, than from couches, televisions, things that surprisingly stick around, ironically, don't actually provide us lasting happiness.
Are some experiences better than others? I mean, do some kinds of experiences produce more lasting happiness than others?
Yeah. For one thing, experiences tend to be particularly rewarding when they bring us closer to other people. For example, I just got back from a surfing trip with my husband. We brought along our 9-month baby, our nanny, and some of our friends. And it was just such a great opportunity to be out there in the surf with my husband and my friends, especially being a busy working mother, like getting the chance to reconnect with those people who are important to me, I think delivered a kind of happiness boost that doing a similar trip solo simply couldn't.
So this is good news probably for travel agents and hotels and resorts and companies that market anything having to do with travel. Not so much good news for companies that create products, couches, televisions.
Right. Although, interestingly, when you think about it, many products fall somewhere along the continuum from something that's clearly a material thing to something that's clearly an experience. So, for example, a sofa is clearly a material thing. A trip to Paris is clearly an experience. But what about, I don't know, the new wetsuit that I bought this weekend? It's a material thing, but what it allows me to do is stay in the freezing cold Canadian water surfing. And it turns out that if you can actually think about a material thing in terms of the experiences that it provides, you're more likely to get lasting happiness from that thing.
Now, you've also done some research suggesting that we use money to buy time. Can you explain what you mean?
Yeah. So the idea here is that before you reach for your wallet, you should try to ask yourself, will this purchase change how I spend my time? So, for example, buying that apartment closer to work, that's going to change the way that you spend your time because you're not going to be spending 2 hours a day commuting. But many of the products that we buy, many things that I myself find very tempting, you know, when I walk into Kate Spade and see a really cute new dress that I want, I have to kind of stop and ask myself, okay, is this actually going to change the way I spend my time? And the answer is probably not. And I would argue that if a product isn't going to have a positive impact on the way we spend our time, it might not be worthwhile.
But that sort of suggests that, I don't know, the people who spend money on house cleaning services are happier than people who scrub their own bathrooms?
I think that house cleaning services are a great use of money. My husband likes to say that although our tiny little kitchen, it could fit on a ship, it takes me like 45 minutes to clean it. And so for me, hiring a house cleaner is actually a good use of money. There are people, strangely enough, who I know who enjoy cleaning. Now, this is totally foreign to me, but for them, I wouldn't recommend paying for a house cleaner because the time that they spend cleaning is almost like meditational time for them. So I think the overall principle that I think is supported by science is that we should use our money to improve the way we spend our time. The nature of that improvement, of course, idiosyncratically depends on people's own particular preferences.
Well, and I guess the point being that there can be hidden time costs to certain purchases. Somebody who, I don't know, spends the money to get an in-ground pool, for instance, they might think, oh, I'm going to be so happy. The kids and I are going to hang out and swim every day, except then they've forgotten how much extra maintenance time it's going to take.
Absolutely. So one thing that we suggest is that people apply what we call the Tuesday test. And the question is, how will this purchase change the way I spend my time next Tuesday? So this very simple test turns out to de-bias our predictions about how much something will impact our happiness. When we think about buying a pool, for example, we're likely to kind of by default imagine that once a summer pool party where we gather the whole extended family and have a wonderful barbecue and make margaritas and it's all wonderful. And what we forget is that on the typical Tuesday, what we're going to be doing is rushing home from work to clean the pool. We're not actually going to have time to swim in it. And so thinking about what our time is actually like on just a typical average day can be very helpful in weeding out those purchases that might have little impact or even a negative impact on our happiness.
You bring up a term I really like that I hadn't really thought about before, time affluence. And once I began thinking about it, I thought, wow, that's just such a fascinating way to think about your life. Are you time rich or time poor? And of course, I think most Americans these days feel increasingly time poor. And you pointed out that I think some large companies are actually beginning to experiment with this in terms of what they can give their employees. They may not be able to pay them more, but they might be able to give them a greater sense of time affluence.
Exactly. And I think this is really a fascinating area for companies to explore. One thing that ironically makes us feel more time affluent is to give our time away for free. The more valuable our time seems, the scarcer it actually feels. So when we give it away by volunteering to help somebody, that can actually make us feel more time affluent. Some companies are beginning to provide their employees with the opportunity to engage in volunteer work. And sometimes, you know, on their own time, not during the workday. And this actually seems to be remarkably effective in terms of promoting employees' well-being.
Well, there's been a fair amount of research, hasn't there, that giving to other people in any way increases your personal sense of happiness. So it would seem like that would be the reason.
Exactly. I mean, we think of humans as being relatively selfish creatures, and that's not untrue, but we do have a more selfless side as well. And I think it's possible to really harness the emotional benefits that we get from giving to others.
You know, we've all heard that before, but you reference one of the more unusual studies I've read. This one was about dodgeball players.
Yeah, so my collaborators and I have conducted research with dodgeball players, and we asked the members of dodgeball teams to spend some money. We gave them some money, and on some teams we said, we just want you to spend this money on yourself. On other teams, we told people that we wanted them to spend the money on their team members. This is a very small study, and it should be taken with a grain of salt, but we found intriguing evidence that dodgeball teams actually won more games when team members had the opportunity to spend money on each other rather than on themselves.
So spending on other people doesn't just improve your own happiness, it might make you a better dodgeball player.
Exactly, which, as we know, is the ultimate outcome that all of us care about.
Elizabeth Dunn is a professor of psychology at the University of British Columbia. She's the co-author of Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. To the Best of Our Knowledge is our gift to you every week from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRX. Charles Monroe Kane produced today's show with help from Mark Rickers, Shannon Henry Kleiber, and Angelo Bautista. Joe Hartke is our sound designer and technical director. Steve Paulson is our executive producer, and I'm Ann Strange-Shamps. Now go shopping.